presented by Overdrive. This is Joe. Welcome. Before we dive into today's episode, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do your listening. You can follow us on social media. We're at ProBookNerds on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, you can send an email to professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. With that, I'm sure the title of the episode gave it away, but today we are talking about some of our favorite Libby features. Of course, joining me is Emma, as always, and our friend Katie, our resident Libby guru expert. Katie, what word feels right for you?
I mean, I'm happy with guru or expert or goddess, whatever, you know, whatever role you want to tack on.
We'll happily give you all of those because your knowledge of Libby at this point, you have been working as product liaison for Libby.
Yep, for about over 6 years. And yeah, so been working on the Libby team for a long time.
Something about that context, 6 years of working on Libby.
Like, wow. I logically know that it's been that long, but also what?
I know. 6 years has gone by so quickly. I mean, I remember when Libby was like born, yes. I guess. Mm-hmm. and going to at that point, I was not officially on the Libby team, but I was working directly with our partners, helping them get set up with Libby. And I remember going to trade shows and handing out like meet Libby cards, be like, Libby, she's our new app. You need to meet her. And now it's just crazy that, I mean, it's 7+ years later. And it's just hard to imagine a world without Libby.
It's so hard to imagine. And I think like the fact that we don't even say meet Libby anymore and that was the mantra. We're all.
It's like, girl, you already know.
Girl, you
know
met Libby. You know her. We're all old. Funny to say old enough here. We've all been at Overdrive long enough. When I started, Libby had only been out for a few months. And now that Libby is basically my entire life as well, it's a strange world.
It's also crazy to look back. Sometimes as a Libby team, we look back and see what Libby looked like. Not just the icon, but like the entire app in the very early days. And it's like unrecognizable.
I think of like the first major UI UX update to the Libby interface. So I look at the first time that Libby was redesigned as an app compared to what we were used to like those first monumental changes. And thinking back then, I don't know if I'll ever come to terms with these changes because I'm used to this.
Yeah.
And now every time there is one of those major app updates, because we've gone through a couple at this point, I no longer find myself in that spot. Now I'm like I did need that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And it's just fascinating. Like everything I feel like being, you know, sometimes it's hard to not resist change. So when things would change, it'd be like, oh my gosh, how dare they move this button? But yeah, I feel like now that we have, you know, a user base and we're seeing what features people like the most, what features are important to highlight more, the changes just, you know, it makes logical sense and we're kind of along for the ride.
And that gives me kind of just a great segue moment for something I think when Marissa and I started doing our webinars that you told us early on, like, let people know Libby is made by Overdrive and I think I still say it to this day that user feedback is at the heart of the app. And do you want to take a moment and just talk about maybe how some new designs and features come about and how feedback still plays a role today?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, as the user base has grown, we're carefully watching app reviews. We watch ideas and trends that come in through Libby directly, since there is that direct communication option with Libby where you can write into our team directly. And whether it's a question that you have or if you're experiencing an issue or if you have an idea that you want to submit. So those are all, you know, reviewed regularly. And of course, we listen to our library partners. That's very important, their feedback and how they want their collection represented. So sometimes it can be feedback coming from a lot of different sources, and sometimes it's industry trends as well. And so we kind of take a look at what will benefit the most people, and also be something that we can feasibly do in a relatively, you know, quick manner, that will benefit as many people as possible, while also, you know, we do try to limit continuing to redesign the app too many times. Like, we like to do maybe a UI refresh, or, you know, the refresh the look and feel of Libby maybe about once a year. So we don't want to keep doing that to jar people. So sometimes it's like, oh, we have an idea for a feature, but this, that would be really great, but we have to wait until we're ready to look at that part of the app and ready to go through the change management of that part of the app for folks. But yeah, and one thing that we've been working on lately is, now that library doors are back open and libraries are really thirsty to get their patrons back into the physical space, we want Libby to be a place that clearly connects the digital space with the physical space. So having more opportunities for libraries to promote their programming and initiatives from within Libby, so that if you're mainly a digital user, you don't forget about the physical space too. And maybe something catches your eye. Maybe there's an author event, or you see a donation drive, for example, and you want to support your library. So giving libraries, you know, more opportunities to connect with their patrons and really make it clear that they're visiting their library in Libby.
I think that's really cool. It's one of, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but it's one of my favorite things, having seen in the past year, is libraries really approaching a new way to blend digital and physical together. I love seeing, for our local library, Cuyahoga County, putting in their kind of annual report, different kind of impact things, and just seeing where you can blend local content as far as sharing updates and sharing information, but really seeing that kind of community building happen naturally between the two places.
And I wanted to mention, before we get into some of the cool things, we did talk about Katie's status as Libby guru, Libby queen, but also in Joe and I's day jobs, we work with Libby a lot. So in my day job at Overdrive, I am a product trainer on the training team. So I work with library staff to train them on the Libby app. And Joe, it does the counterpart of that. He trains library patrons on the Libby app with the digital bookmobile and monthly webinars. So we use Libby a lot in both our professional and personal lives. And so I think that is another fun reason why we've brought this group together to talk about it.
Just last night when you, well, I guess by the time we air this, it won't be last night, but just recently when you all were hosting the Libbies, which was amazing, I had my phone out, and every time there was a book you mentioned, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to read that. I had Libby up and ready to do a deep search and
ready to tag
and ready to tag. My TBR went crazy from that event. So that was really cool.
It is really cool. And I think that's a great way. Emma, thank you, because of course we need to toot our own horns there too. We spend just a little bit of time in Libby every day.
a lot of time.
just a lot of time. Yeah, we really do have the breadth of Libby knowledge here, don't we? From behind the scenes yeah. to who's helping.
I mean, we're real users of
that too. You know,
this yes. product, of this too. So
that leads us really well into some of our favorite current features. Who wants to kick us off?
So I've talked about this on the podcast, I think, but where I genuinely feel like I can read ebooks quicker. I can read them faster than paper books because I literally can just have it out all the time, read a page, read two pages while I'm waiting for my coffee or whatever. And so I feel like I can read ebooks so much quicker. And so I go to my Libby app often to try to find the things that like spark my interest. I'm very easily influenced by like anything I see as a mood reader. And so where that comes in handy is the multi-library search. I want to get what I want, and I want to get it the quickest. And so I have several library cards. We have great libraries in Ohio, and it makes it so much easier for me to get my ebook the fastest when I can just easily look and see, how do I do that? That's my favorite.
For sure.
Favorite, hands down.
It's also been one of the things that I've loved seeing changes come through to over the years. Getting to hear the feedback from patrons, I love when my answer to y'all gets to change as things develop. So initially, multi-library search, you were able to store all of those cards in Libby, but you were doing separate searches. Or eventually you could tap the little library card icon to check the others, but now it's this really beautiful blend of showing you what's available, what has the shortest wait list. You can really see it all. And you may even be searching your normal library. You may go to borrow it from that library. But if Libby's like, actually, this copy just became available from another card you have access to, she's going to flip that for you. And you don't have to do all of that manual searching. It's so convenient.
And that's also really beneficial to libraries as well, because we know that they can have long wait times, especially on popular titles. And so, you know, at the end of the day, libraries are shared spaces and they want users to have access to the books that they want to read. So it has the dual benefit of, if you can find this book somewhere else faster, it also, that way you're not adding to the wait list or, you know, to what might already be a long wait list. So yeah, I love that too, of Libby kind of being smart enough to know this is the path that's going to get you the book the quickest. Last year, we introduced a feature that I'm sure many of our listeners are going to be familiar with, because it was a long-awaited feature, which was Deep Search and Notify Me tags. So for a little history, back in the day of the OverDrive app, many libraries, but not all libraries, had a feature called Recommend to Library, where it was basically, if you were interested in a title but your library didn't have it yet, you could submit a recommendation and then you'd be informed if they purchased it. But there were some, you know, there was some clunkiness with that process, honestly, and it wasn't multi-library aware. So sometimes you were making requests at multiple libraries and it just wasn't very seamless. So Libby introduced last year Deep Search, which I love. So that way, as soon as I hear about a book, maybe an esoteric pick or something that I know is a pre-order, I can search for it in Libby. And if my active library doesn't have it, then I can expand to a deep search. And that searches across the entire OverDrive collection of anything that is available through OverDrive. And it will tell me if any of my other libraries have it. Or if not, then it will have a little notify me icon where I can tag it as a notify me title. And that way my libraries, all of my libraries that I have cards at, are notified that I'm interested in this. And they can, you know, use data from their community to see what are the titles that are kind of bubbling up that users are interested in that we don't yet offer, and choose, you know, whether or not it makes sense to add to the collection. And then if your library does add that title, you get a notification, either a push notification or email notification or in-app, depending on how you have things set up, letting you know the good news that that title is available. And that just feels like it's a little gift from your library when you get that. And so I love that. That's even kind of taking multi-library search to the next level.
Yes. And such a good way to put it, like a little gift from your library. I also love Deep Search. I love the Notify Me tag. I just love tags in general, which I know we'll get to. But oh my gosh, Deep Search is the game changer, because it's like, if we have it for your library to offer to you at some point, you'll find it in Deep Search. You don't have to feel like you're missing out, or you no longer have to keep like a separate list of, okay, I have to look for this elsewhere. So it
absolutely
changes the game for me.
And it also helps like the library be the first place you go to look for all the things, which is beneficial, again, to libraries as well, because we are keeping you in the library's collection, or Libby's keeping you in the library's collection to help you find everything you want without having to go elsewhere.
It also really helps my wallet as a patron. No, like, seriously, like, yeah. Going to the library, because as everyone knows, I do like to collect books and I like things like special editions. But again, like, there's only so much shelf space and there's only so much budget that I can allot towards those things. So it's like, you know what, I can absolutely get this from my library, and this is the quickest way I can do it. And because I know it's coming, let me do notify me, and I'll just be like that much more ahead of the game.
Honestly, the wallet saving is really what I was going for there, because right, if my library doesn't have it, oh, I guess I have to buy it. And so it's great to just be like, one of my libraries is going to add this for me. I don't have to worry.
I remember at a previous Digipalooza, which is our every other year. Is that biannual? Is that the right term?
Biennial.
I always get confused. Well, it's our conference that we have for our library partners. And during one of the panels, a library partner shared that digital books have saved her marriage because she's not spending so much money on books. So here, Libby, we're just out there to save your marriage.
We're helping everyone. You don't have to worry about those awkward conversations of how much did you spend at the store today? Something that has updated recently that I know is a huge plus for users, for all of you, just from the feedback I've seen during webinars, is pinning filters, being able to search filters, pin things that you love. I know this is really important for folks who, you know, of course, I read across all formats, so I don't have a pin set for like the type, but I have met so many people on the bookmobile and online who only read ebooks or only listen to audiobooks, and they never want to see anything else. And being able to pin that is really helpful. Sometimes, I know we've seen it in the past as well, that a language other than English title of a book will be the same as the English version, even though that's not always the case. Sometimes it's the case. And that can also be confusing for folks, you know, especially if they're like just getting into digital reading. And so being able to pin the language filter for the languages that you read in and just kind of adapt what works best for you. And instead of having to apply those all the time, you know, every time you do a search, you can pin those filters. And that way, when you're scrolling through the library tab, when you're executing a search, no matter where you are in Libby, you're having that customized experience. And so I've always really appreciated that Libby gets to be custom to your interests and to your tastes.
For sure. And I love the availability filter, especially combined with your wish list. Like, if I'm looking for something to read, I go right to my wish list or my TBR or whatever you call it. And being able to just easily see, okay, what's immediately available is chef's kiss.
Too good. Can't go wrong. Emma, what's another thing you love?
Okay, I just added this to the notes because I don't know that we had it on here. And I just went into my Libby app to double check, because this is my favorite feature. And I tell this to both the library staff that I train, and then also people in my personal life to use. I use this. It is turning on labeled icons in your navigation bar. Now, you can do this by going to the menu. I'm doing it now just to make sure, even though I literally train people on this. And you tap settings. And you go to customize navigation, there is an option to toggle on labeled icons. So it does make the footer a little bit smaller, but it does then have the labels underneath everything. So the magnifying glass says search, the library building icon says library, menu, shelf, and timeline. And while I logically know these are the tabs, the icons in the app, because I use it all the time, it just makes it that much easier for me to not have to think about it so much when I'm looking for things in the app. So I love the labeled icons in the navigation bar. It is like the number one first thing I tell people to do once they've set it up.
I'm so glad you added this, because Marissa and I dedicate, you know, a few minutes every month to showing people, because we're talking to people just starting for the first time. And it's great to find another place to just break down those barriers and be like, turn these on. That way you don't have to question what you're looking at. You don't have to try to remember another step. You can just know that that library, that building is the library and it says library under it. I think the space you lose in the footer is more than made up for in what you gain. And if you are someone who might be setting up a device for an older adult, a parent, a grandparent, turn those navigation labels on.
They will save your life. They will save you from phone calls asking what are these labels?
What does that button do again? Where are my books?
A funny anecdote about this. So when we added the footer navigation, this was a couple years ago during one of those redesigns we talked about, and it was like what seems to be something that should be easy, like coming up with icons for the different places in the app, was such a painstaking process that we went through with like user testing and finally landed on the library. Like, it was especially the library icon that was very hard to pick the right thing. And so I remember having some spirited debates with colleagues around what the right icon was. And for the current icon that's the library, someone saying that it looked like a bank. And I remember like venting to my husband like that about this. So now anytime he uses Libby, he's like, oh yeah, I just need to go to the bank to look at my to look at my library books.
That is sweet.
But something that's so cute and hidden in that library icon is that the roof is actually a book. So cute.
It's silly when it feels silly when I say it, but then when you think about, right, how hard it must have been, because you have to come up with a shelf, but also what's in a library but shelves of books. Mm-hmm. And yep.
So the library had to be a building, right? But some people are going to think it's a bank, but come on, you're in a reading app. You're not going to a bank.
We do not want your money. The Libby app is free.
We just told you we'd save your marriage by not
spending money on books.
Spending money. So, yeah.
Right. And you don't have to worry. I'll say this every time. It's not a new feature. And I know this is new features. But you don't have to worry about fines or late fees. Okay? Books return themselves. Because our top question that I always receive is, how do I return the book when it's due? And you don't have to worry about it. If you're done early, this is how you do it. But it'll return itself.
Yep. Can we talk a little bit about early returns?
Absolutely.
Emma, do you want to say anything about early returns?
I just like what happens when you return it early.
So if you return a book early, so as we've said, the books will automatically go back to the library on their due date. But if you go to your shelf, you can manage your loan and return that title early. And when the book goes back...
So when the book goes back, you might notice that there's like a little emoji of flowers. You can tap the flowers and then they like spill forth a parade of other flowers. And it's just a fun little like, thank you for being so efficient with your loan.
It's nice to be celebrated.
It is. Everyone should be celebrated with flowers. Here's a pop quiz. Do you know how to, okay, so I'm trying to frame this question. I guess let's not frame it as a pop quiz. Did you know that there's a way in Libby to see a flower for every book you've returned early?
I think I knew this, but I don't know that I know how to find that.
All right, so I'm going to tell you. If you want to see just how good of a person you've been by returning books early, yeah. So you go into the menu, and then you scroll all the way down, and you tap the Libby word mark, so just where it says Libby under settings. And then this goes to a page that's kind of like about what's new, technical information, but you keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling until you see a tiny flower, and then you tap that flower, and it will give you a flower for every book you've returned early.
Oh, it's still going.
I just did that now. Yep, I'm literally, ooh, that's nice.
That's so fun. And I love that it is kind of hidden like that, that mm-hmm. it is truly just an Easter egg. Putting that in the show notes, yep. Stick around for
Easter eggs. Easter eggs. Can you only do it once?
No,
it'll reset. Like
refresh. You can do it again.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's fantastic. It makes me think of like always talking about how you can tap on Libby to change between different skin tones. Mm-hmm. I love the explosion of flowers, but now knowing that every time I return a book early, that is just going to get long.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
So many flowers for you, Joe.
I think I'm going to be always returning early. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Other people on the wait list will thank you.
Well, that's true. That makes me think of when it was introduced to just be like, hey, are you done with this book? Just giving that mm-hmm. little nudge. I know that's back there a little bit, but there's something about that teal text that it always catches my eye still to this day. And I go like, yes, right. Thank you. It is at 100% complete. I should have sent this back when I finished it.
As I'm like, what other things can I click on in here that I haven't yet? I'm just tapping. I'm like, what happens if I tap on this? Nothing? Okay.
But that is another really great point that I'm going to leave that in specifically for this. We tell people this on the bookmobile. Tap around in Libby. You're not going to break it. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need to be afraid. That's how you find things like explosions of flowers. Try things out. See what you find. Now, let's talk about tags. I know we've talked about tags before, but Katie, you've got them on the list.
I love tags.
I do too.
There's a tag for everything. So I think also there's, for some reason, which I've never quite understood, there are some folks who are a little like afraid of tags. Maybe afraid is not the right word, but they feel like they don't quite understand what to use them for. So they just kind of ignore them or maybe feel a little bit overwhelmed by tags. But it goes right into what you were saying, Joe, of don't be afraid to tap around. You're not going to break anything. And tags are such a great way to organize your books. So you can create like a wish list. You can, Libby actually has some tags that it automatically creates for you, or we call those smart tags. So those include like your borrowed smart tag or your sampled smart tag. So that way you can easily track everything you've borrowed and sampled. We even have cute little icons for those tags. Like I love the sampled one. It has a little piece of cake and that just makes me happy every time I see it. But you can create custom tags too. Something that I love to do is my mom is in a book club and she's always asking me for book recommendations. And of course, when I give her a long list, she'll like pick one, but then not remember all of the other ones that I suggested. So when her next time to pick comes around, I can just export my tag list. I have a tag that's literally called For Mom. And so that way I can just send it to her. I keep adding books to it as I think of books that would be good for her book club. And, you know, I have one for mom. I have one for my friend Heather, where it's things that we have similar reading tastes. So if I read something and I know it would be good for her, I can share that with her and, you know, share a whole list. Or if it's like recommendations that I got from Emma and Joe, I can have a From Emma and Joe list. So really, you know, just endless possibilities for organizing your books, because not everything, you don't necessarily want to just dump everything into one pile. Like, for example, I love to read memoirs and autobiographies, but I also can be a deep suspense and thriller reader. So depending on what I feel like reading, I can go into my tags list for my mysteries and suspense if I want something cozy and creepy, or I can go over to my memoir list as well.
I think tags are an incredibly powerful tool. I used to be one of those people at the very beginning because of, you know, I get to lovingly say I was joining Libby from the ground floor, and I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to kind of use it like I used Overdrive. And so initially I think I looked at tags and I was just like, okay, whatever. What am I using? What would I use this for? But I knew how other people use them and I could see why it mattered to people. So I would share that. Like, if I get recommendations from friends, it's a great place to do X, Y, and Z. And I think from the moment that I actually earnestly started using them is when things really changed for me. So being able to say, this is the 2023 TBR, this is the 2024 TBR, and being able to look back, it's also a great way to throw in like, oh, I forgot about that book, or other things bumped it up, so let's move this to the next tag. Like you, I also have lists for people in my life. I curate a lot of lists for my niece because I'm over at bedtime a lot. So if we need a story and she's not feeling any of our usual books right now, it's Llama Llama. we might just open up into a smart tag and pick something from there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So a word to everyone who's listening, don't be afraid of tags. Embrace them.
Embrace the tags. And if you are still looking for a good way to track your books, not only is the borrowed tag a smart tag so it happens automatically, if you want to make an intentional one to be like, this is what I read in 2023 or 2024 or however you want to phrase it for yourself, go forth. That can be your new tracker.
Yeah, and something that I really like to do with tags is, like, I know that there is the inclination, and you should, like, put something on hold or borrow it. And then that thing that happens where you get 75 holds in at one time. Now, you can obviously have it deliver later. If you don't know about that feature, you should. But what I like to do sometimes, if I'm already trying to save future me, like, anxiety from that dilemma, is even though I might be able to borrow it or place a hold, instead I will use a tag instead so that my list of, like, active holds or things borrowed does not overwhelm me.
Yeah. And that's also good, like we talked about, being kind of a good digital reading citizen. If you're not really ready to read a book right now and it has a wait list, tag it instead. So that way someone who is ready to read it now will get it quicker and the library can keep their wait list more manageable. And then when you are ready to read it, that's when you can place it on hold. Or if you know, like, I'll be ready to read this in the next month or so, that's when you can place it on hold. But otherwise, use tags.
Yeah, it was a big game changer for me as well to to stop just placing things on hold.
Yeah.
Because I constantly then fell in the trap of delivering later forever. Because what I wanted at the time, maybe I wasn't ready for. And so it almost became like an assignment. Now that it was ready, I was like, I know Em and I have talked about this, but like, I can't possibly read it. Now it's homework. And putting it on a tag and coming back to it maybe months after the must read this now has dwindled for everyone else, and I can just come in and borrow it. I'm now excited for that book again instead of, shoot, I'm supposed to read this.
I agree. The reason I try to do the tags over placing things on hold, if I know it's just like aspirational, like I would like to read this or I could be in the mood to read this, but I might not be, is like worse of all. It's not, because you're still engaging with your libraries, I'm pretty sure. But when you do have something that comes and you've checked it out and then it sits on your Libby shelf and you don't get to it before it returns, not the worst thing in the world, but if you can help make sure that those checkouts go to someone who is reading it. I am guilty of this on occasion. And so that is why I do really try to be conscientious, knowing that someone could have read it instead.
Yes, absolutely. Think of the other people who are waiting.
Exactly.
So can we talk a little bit about Deliver Later?
Yeah.
So what used to happen was that things were just automatically checked out to you. So you were on hold, and then when your hold was up, they were automatically checked out to you. But it would often, if you're someone who reads a lot, like I think all of us, and many millions of others, if you're placing everything on hold, you could have everything become available at once, and you're not ready for it, and so you'd probably then have to make some hard choices, right, about what do I actually have time to read, and what do I have to just let go and maybe revisit in the future if I remember. But with Deliver Later, when a hold becomes available, instead of it automatically being checked out to you, you get a notification that the book is ready for you, but you can say, hey, I'm not ready for this right now. Let me stay at the top of the wait list so I don't lose my place in line. But again, I'll be a good digital reading citizen and pass it on to someone else, the next person. And then once another copy frees up, it'll come back to me and I can determine if I'm ready to read it then, or I can keep using that Deliver Later feature until I'm ready. So that has been a really big game changer for me. I think a lot of readers.
The combo of Deliver Later plus making thoughtful tags really makes it easier. But also let's talk business just loosely for a second, because Libby is free to those of us who are reading on it, but books aren't free. I mean, the books on physical library shelves and digital library shelves have a cost associated, and they all have different models. And some are cost by checkout. Some are only exist for a certain length of time before they expire. Some have kind of a combo of the two, and some are there forever. So there's a big piece that helps your library. And so this again goes back to making sure that resources are being directed to the content everyone wants to read, but also kind of balancing out a little bit of wastefulness. So, you know, if that book was automatically checking out, it was going to, and then no one read it, and it sat on that shelf for 3 weeks because you missed it, or, you know, life got in the way. If that was one of those books that had kind of the tick down of, okay, there was, I'll pick a random number, there were 55 times this could be used, now there's 54, and someone didn't get to read that, it was also just impactful on how this worked for the library. So kind of like better for everyone, because us being able to be a little more mindful as, you know, digital library citizens, not only are we being a little more thoughtful, it also means the library can put thought and funds into additional books, additional content.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm just going through and no, tagging okay. some things. You guys reminded me of something, so I went to go put a tag on something in Libby.
We hyped up tags so much that Emma's like, hold the phone. Hold on. I need to go.
Pause this recording. I am tagging. Hold on.
We hyped tags so hard. You're like, wait, there are things I have to tag.
I was like, wait, I need to put a tag on that or I'm going to forget.
Magazines have lived like many lives in Libby, and I think the experience now is really interesting. Katie, I'm going to ask you to talk about the magazine rack, but before we do that, just magazines in general, it's a really cool experience, and it is also depending on if your library offers magazines. So that is why I kind of started off with, this one can be a hard one to talk about, because we could also talk about extras, but that's the same thing, like what's available and if it's available depends on what your library provides. But magazines, we're seeing a lot more libraries offer. It's a very cool collection. And if you do have access to magazines, I really recommend that you try the article view. This is one of my favorite features because magazines are format locked. And so, you know, you've got these big images and it's great to see those. But if you're reading something a little more article focused, having the article view and just having that nice, even text, size determined by your appearance settings already, being able to scroll through and go from article to article, kind of skip over those ads, is a really nice way to have a magazine experience. So I'm throwing that out there for everyone to just like dip their toes in. If you are a magazine reader and your library offers them in Libby, try the article view. It will change your life.
And talk about saving money. Magazines, print magazines have gotten to be so expensive. Like, okay, I'm a big cat lover, and so there was like, I can't, Paw Print magazine, they got me at the checkout at CVS one day, and I bought the magazine, so like, I need this, but then I should have checked in Libby, we did have it, but this magazine cost, I kid you not, it was like at least $15 for one magazine. It has very cute pictures of cats in it, but
unless you're making like a decoupage collage of cats, I can read it digitally.
Which, don't put that past me, but I mean, I didn't do that with
I'm this. Expecting the next time I walk past your desk to just see like cats stuck and pasted.
I mean, I feel like now for how much I spent on it, I need to do something.
You need to get more out of it.
Yeah, I need to get more out of it. But that, so huge cost saver, but then also, yes, we've also made it a lot easier to subscribe to magazines. So especially if there are certain magazines that you want to read every time they come out, like People.
HGTV is on my Notify Me magazines.
Yep. Home and Country.
Time Magazine.
Like pretty much Time Magazine recent we have edition, now, which is, yeah, amazing. Nat Geo, Rolling Stone. So just pretty much every magazine that you can think of. And you can actually use tags. So see, we're coming full circle with everything. You can use a Notify Me tag so that you're automatically notified when the next issue is available. And that way, as soon as the next issue is available, it becomes easy for you to access on what is called the magazine rack. And that's part of your shelf where you can see the latest issue of any magazine that you're subscribed to, so you can easily get to it from there. If there are certain issues, like past issues that you really liked, let's say I'm hosting a dinner party and I know that there was a recipe I really liked in A Taste of Cooking, then I can go and I can add that issue to my magazine rack. I can save it. So that way it's easy for me to access even if there's a newer issue of that magazine available.
And magazines are cool. They operate differently than ebooks and audiobooks. There are never holds or wait lists for those magazines. They are simultaneous use. So you can jump back to that recipe at any point in time. It's waiting there for you. But again, available based on what your library offers. So that's why we probably don't talk about magazines more, because it's one of those hard to gauge what everyone's got.
But like you said, the good news is that more and more libraries are signing up for magazines because it's nice to be able to offer so many digital formats in one easy place for users.
I mean, Magazines Libby got me back into magazines because I used to subscribe to like Entertainment Weekly and GQ and a few others that at some point it was just overwhelming having so many hunks of paper that you don't keep, like you are recycling or taking somewhere. And I like this just like much lowered footprint of mine with less paper waste from magazines.
And hey, it's B Corp month. So this is also the more that you can do digitally, the more you're being good for the planet and not being wasteful.
Now, I know our time together is running thin here. Is there anything else we want to... I know I'm making up new phrases today. Is there anything else you want to make sure we talk about in some of our favorite new features?
I mean, we could frankly talk about this forever. So maybe we should just move on from existing features and talk a little bit about what is coming next.
Yeah. So, Katie, this is where we have to turn to the Libby Goddess. What is coming next?
So I'm actually going to circle back. I guess I'm using the corporate phrase of circle back to something you said earlier, which was sometimes it can be hard to tell, especially if you're a new user, like if the jacket for a book in Spanish and in English has the exact same cover, it can be hard to tell which one am I borrowing. Well, actually, in a release that's coming very soon, we are going to have, so in Libby, you can change your language that you use the app in. But let's say I use the app in English because that's my primary language. And if I were to borrow or place a hold or add a notify me tag to a Spanish title, Libby is now, after this release, Libby is going to prompt me and say, hey, this is in Spanish. Are you sure you want this version? And I could say, yes, I do. Like, maybe I do know Spanish or I'm learning Spanish. And so then I can just go on my way and read or tag my book. Or if I said, oh, no, I can't read Spanish, I don't want to borrow this version, then Libby has a way to help you find another version based on your preferred language. So I'm really excited for that. I know that that will solve some pain points for our users who get really excited about reading a book only to discover it's in a language they don't understand. So that's exciting. I know it's a kind of a minor feature, but one that I think many readers will enjoy. And our libraries will enjoy that too, because sometimes they're like, why am I getting so many notify me tags on this random Russian book? And it might be because folks are accidentally tagging a different version than what they intend to.
I feel like this happens a lot with the German covers. They're the same, and like even the title might be the same on the cover for some reason. And so then I have myself even, and I know all of this on all the levels, borrowed the book in German.
Yeah,
you've got to
learn German.
Yeah, easy enough.
Absolutely same, though. Like, I have heard, and it is specifically German. I have heard it countless times on the road in webinars, and I, too, have borrowed the German version of a book. And it makes sense when you think it's, like, this whole trajectory from, well, everyone's requesting it. We don't quite know why they're requesting the German version, but hey, maybe someone's studying a new language. Maybe there's a language group we don't know about. And now it's helpful on all fronts. That's so exciting.
Then I'll talk kind of in broad strokes about some other features that we're working on, where I'll get a little bit less specific because these are still kind of in planning mode and I'd rather under-promise and over-deliver. So we're working on making it even easier to stay on top of your notifications. Right now, they're in the in-app menu. We know some folks could like miss those, or they may get so many notifications that it's hard to sort through. So we're working on some ways to make that easier. We're also going to make it even easier to access your tags, and hopefully that way make it so that more folks dip their toe in the water with tags as well, and then see all the benefits that the three of us have talked about. And something I'm really excited about, we already have, like we talked about, different ways to do multi-library search, and we're going to introduce another easy way to switch between your libraries. So that's just hopefully something to get everyone excited. So look out for some updates with those things in the near future.
There are so many great updates, improvements, and changes coming. But these two are just so good. So good. Now, Katie, in general, of course, want to start my question with the caveat of, like, there are different kinds of changes that happen in an app, from bug fixes, minor improvements, like some small things that happen at a regular cadence versus user interface overhauls, quality of life improvements, like big time. How often can we expect changes within Libby?
Yeah, so great question. So like you said, there are different like categories of updates. So I would say that from the development perspective, we release probably at least once a month, but some of those will be invisible or minor updates where it, like you said, it will be kind of quality of life, better performance. Unfortunately, sometimes there will be bugs that come about, so we want to fix those. So things like that. And then in terms of like big noticeable changes and features, I'd say that we try to do 2 to 3 of those a year. Again, we want to strike that balance of not overwhelming users with too much change, but also still being able to deliver features that folks are asking for. So I'd say, you know, we are constantly iterating and improving the app, but sometimes it's slight tweaks or quality of life things as opposed to big features and changes, which we try to do, you know, still every year, but just we don't want to like constantly be redesigning the app 4 or 5 times a year. That would be a bit much for everyone to keep up with. So that's kind of generally the case.
And I think even with like the big redesigns that happen, I think there's a difference between like how often we're doing big app updates versus big updates plus a new look, a fresh coat of paint kind of thing. So some years you may just have like big features, and other years it may be big new features and a new look.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Katie, for taking the time to talk about Libby with us. It's always exciting when we get to share, I guess, you're right, Emma, what we do every day. This is our day-to-day here, giving us some things to look forward to in Libby. Before I let everyone go, since we're talking about Libby, and I think we all have Libby open right now, what are you currently reading? Because I'm still going to sneak in 3 book recommendations right here, right now. I am currently reading The Storm of the Night by Nishita Parekh. This was in one of my monthly book picks at the start of the year. It is a good old mystery thriller in a creepy old house kind of thing. It's a big family drama thriller where you don't know who is the killer and what's going on. And it is an absolutely delightful listen.
I am also listening to an audiobook in Libby. Who am I? But it is the same one that I mentioned. I did actually decide to listen to it. The House of Earth and Blood, part 1 of 2 graphic audio adaptation. So that is my current go-to listen for any driving time, which is why it does take me a hot minute because I am only in the car so much and also not with my child. And this has curse words. So.
And it's long. So like triple whammy.
Triple whammy. But I am listening to House of Earth and Blood graphic audio. And I am attempting to read the Chloe Walsh, I think it's the Tommen's brother something. That's very articulate. The Boys of Tommen series. There we go. But I have not gotten to it yet, but I hope to.
So I am reading, this was a book that was up for the Libbies. I was kind of sad it didn't win, but there were a lot of good suggestions out there. But I'm 94% through Happiness Falls. I was trying to finish it last night, and it was just at that point where, like, not because of the quality of the book, I was so tired that, like, my eyes just kept shutting. So I saved the last 6% for tonight, so I can't wait to go home and read it. So that's by Angie Kim. And then for professional development, I'm reading Think Again by Adam Grant.
Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Let us know your favorite Libby feature in the Instagram comments of today's episode post. We would love to hear from you. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and happy reading.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode on Overdrive.com or in Libby. Our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Emma Dwyer and Joe Skelly and presented by Overdrive. To learn more, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Bonjour, this is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.